The story that we dramatized before, that comes from Luke, the story about the seeds, is an important message. Because I know we were talking about this in the professional development things that I was doing a couple of weeks ago. We're talking about memory and how for kids to remember something, it has to be repeated. And it's the same for, I don't know if it's about you, but it's the same for me. I have to hear it more than once and I have to take it in. Like, I'm really bad with names. People can tell me their name and it can go in there and it seems to find its way out there, which is not good. But often, yeah, we need to practice and we need to hear things again. So some of the things you're going to hear me say this morning, you've heard me say them before, but it's important that we keep hearing them, because I believe as a church, we've talked a lot about we're the body of Christ, we're working together, we're on this journey together, all those kind of things, and I'm just kind of reiterating that this morning. But also because that verse reminded me that we need to capture the word. We need to capture it, and it's got to have deep roots so that we can stand firm in those trials and we can keep our trust in Jesus. So, yeah, let's go. Thank you, Lord, for your message. And may the words that I speak, Lord, be yours, I pray, in Jesus' name. So in the weeks leading up to Easter, and it's not very far away, we're going to be working through the book of Luke. In particular, we're going to focus on Jesus' journey We're focusing on his journey to Jerusalem, where he would suffer, die, and be raised to life for the redemption of the whole world. This journey begins at chapter 9. I would encourage each of us over these next weeks, in our own personal time, to read and discover the rich teaching that's found in Luke. So when you're going to do your devotions, start at Luke. It's a great book, and if you want things to help you understand it more, there's some really good teaching that the Bible Project do. You can look up Bible Project on YouTube and look up Bible Project Luke, and it'll explain, there's quite a number of things that they go into in the book of Luke and they expand upon. So that's good to have, to read that and to really get the word, because that's how we grow, that's how those roots go down deep. We can't learn and grow and be God's people if we're not in his word, praying and in his word. So that's an important thing to remember. So please look at Luke. Not just come and listen, but look for yourself. So all that said, I wanted to give you today a brief overview before we start our journey. The Gospel according to Luke is one of the earliest accounts of Jesus' life. Did you know that Luke is part one of a two-volume work? So Luke and Acts go together, written by the same author, who is Luke. Luke was a doctor. Did you know that? Luke was a doctor, yep. And he was the travelling companion and co-worker of Paul the Apostle. So, yeah, I'm sure he learnt a lot as he was travelling around and working with Paul. Now, he wanted to write an orderly account about how the story of Jesus is a fulfillment of the long covenant story of God and Israel. And bigger than that, the story of God and the whole world. So he wanted to show that all that stuff that happened in the past was all for a reason, that it all fitted in, and all the things that the prophet said all fitted in, and Jesus was the fulfillment of all of that stuff that had happened. That's what he wanted to show. So you'd see if you open Luke that it begins with the birth stories of John and Jesus. Now John, you know who John was? Yep, John the Baptist. Yes, that's right. So you can read all that in the first parts of Luke. And these are important things because they establish where it all fits in and how it's a fulfillment of everything that was spoken about. John was the promised messenger who prepares Israel to meet their God. So he was preparing them. It had been a long time since they'd heard from God, and he was coming saying, I'm preparing the way for you to receive God. Now we have to do some of that in our own lives, don't we? We have to prepare our hearts to receive the message. So that was John. And of course you read about Jesus' birth as well. Jesus, the promised Messiah, the King who will bring God's reign and blessing to the nations and to all of humanity. You will see in there that when Jesus was brought to be dedicated at the temple, there was a man there called Simeon. He was an elderly prophet. He'd been waiting for this day. He recognized Jesus and he said, Jesus is God's salvation for Israel, and he will be a light to all the nations. So right back then, all these words are spoken over Jesus. You can read them all. Great reading as you read through Luke. And then we find that Jesus comes to be baptized by John when he gets older. And at that baptism, Jesus is marked by the Spirit and the voice of God from heaven as the beloved Son of God. And as Jesus begins his public ministry in the temple, he declares, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor and freedom for prisoners, new sight for the blind and freedom for the oppressed." He was quoting from Isaiah and he said, that scripture has been fulfilled today. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor and freedom for prisoners, new sight for the blind and freedom to the oppressed." They're great words, aren't they? But they're not just words. Jesus' mission was to bring release, specifically for the poor. Now, it didn't just mean people who didn't have money. There's a broader meaning of that word poor here. The broader meaning is the people of low social status in that particular time. And that included people with disabilities. You know, you often hear about in the scriptures, people with disabilities sitting out with they were begging at the side of the road. That's the way they had to survive. So those people, women and children, the elderly, these are the people that Jesus wanted to bring a message to, that you're important. I'm coming for you. I'm coming because I want to free everybody. And also for the social outsiders, for other ethnic groups, or for those people who had, because of their choices, they'd been placed outside of the acceptable religious circles. So they weren't allowed to be part of the religious practices of the day because they were considered not worthy. Jesus came to say that God's kingdom is especially good news for all of those people.
Hallelujah.
And Luke then goes on to show us what this good news looks like, how it works out. What do we see? We see Jesus healing a bedridden sick woman, a man who has a skin disease, and they were outcast. No touching. Don't go near them. But Jesus was there. He healed them. Someone who was paralyzed. And then from outside the community, those who'd been shunned, he welcomed a tax collector. He forgave a prostitute. So Jesus wasn't just saying, he was showing by what he did that he had come for everybody. His kingdom brought restoration and reversal of people's whole life circumstances. He expanded the circle of people who get invited. He expanded that circle and said, this is for everybody. My healing power, my restoration is for everybody. And as we talked about before Christmas, I think I mentioned this a few times, this kingdom is an upside down kingdom. Yep. God's love for the outsider and the poor means that his kingdom brings a reversal of all our value systems. Jesus is here to form a new alternative people of God who are going to respond to Jesus' invitation by practicing radical generosity, by serving the poor. People who are going to lead by serving and live by peacemaking and forgiveness. People who are deeply devout but who reject religious authority. So we're not bound by all the rules. We still want to serve God. We still want to be devoted to Him. But we're not bound by rules and say, oh, sorry, you can't come in here today because you didn't say, oh, God, forgive me three times before you came in. You know what I'm trying to say? There was lots of rules and regulations that the authorities, religious authorities of the time, had put upon people. And they kind of felt like God didn't care about them. But Jesus was saying, no, that's not true. This is new. My kingdom's upside down to their thinking. I'm here for everybody. I'm here for the poor. And remember, that's not just the poor people with no money. It's the outcasts. You can imagine, as you read through Luke, that the religious leaders who are listening to Jesus and seeing all this are not too happy with him. What are you doing, going talking to those people? What are you doing? This is blasphemy. You can't mix with sinners. There's something wrong. Because it was a threat to their religious traditions and their sense of the social stability of the time. Sometimes I think, you know, we get so comfortable as a church in what we do that we forget that we can't be comfortable. We have to be welcoming. We have to think outside the box. We have to think about how we can impact people with the love of Jesus. So then we have all these religious leaders that Luke, you'll see as you read Luke, that are a bit up in arms about Jesus, which brings Jesus to the next thing he teaches his disciples, is that he's going to have to die. And they, you know, that's, you know, what he, you know, we think they thought he was going to come and establish his kingdom on earth and well, everything was going to be okay, Roman oppression was going to go and they were going to be free. But he's saying, no, I'm going to have to die because I'm going to be the suffering servant king that's talked about in Isaiah. The suffering servant who dies for the sins of Israel and for all of the people.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Luke is showing us that Jesus is the new Moses who will lead his newly formed Israel into freedom and release from the tyranny of sin and evil. And just as the new Moses was about to bring a new exodus by his death in Jerusalem, we need to think about this. We need to come on this. I'm inviting you to come on this journey with Jesus, the new Moses, who's bringing us into his promised land, if you like, his eternal kingdom. No longer would we be captive to sin, but we would be redeemed and made worthy to be part of his eternal kingdom. That's why he was so steadfast as he walked, even though he knew what was coming, because he knew that this redemption would be for all people and we would be welcomed into his kingdom.
Hallelujah.
That gets us to Luke chapter 9, the end of Luke chapter 9. Jesus starts this journey, leading his group of growing disciples on a journey towards Jerusalem. Along the way, he taught valuable lessons through parables and he performed miracles, which transformed lives and highlight his mission, his compassion and his love for all people. So Luke is portraying that following Jesus is a journey and we learn as we go along life's paths. Jesus invites his disciples into his mission. Being a disciple right from the start means participating in his kingdom mission and making it your own. So he's saying, follow me, be part of my mission. I don't just want you following in the back, dragging along. I want you to be part of it all. I want you to be part of my mission. Right. I just remembered that I forgot to show you the video I was going to show you, which is important. So let's watch that now. It's about a pencil. The tale of the pencil. So let's watch this. Okay, did you like the story of the pencil? There should have been sound with that, but that's all right. No worries, you could, hopefully you could read it. Because it explains a little bit about our journey. So Jesus is inviting his disciples to come with him on this journey. He invites us to come with him and walk this journey with him and to be part of his mission. Make it our own. His mission is our mission. In my New Year's message to you, I invited us all to journey together. We journey together as participants in the mission. We need to be committed to the kingdom mission, which is seeking and saving the lost. And to our vision. What's our vision, Marianne? Do you remember? Once again, it's getting it into the memory. We had vision Sunday last week. Connecting our community with the love of Jesus. What is our vision? Connecting our community with the love of Jesus. That's our vision. I need you. We need each other standing side by side. In that story of the pencil, we need to put ourselves into God's hands first, and then we need to put our lives into each other's hands. We need to trust God and we need to trust each other, walking hand in hand, following our Saviour, learning from him, being an enthusiastic and active part of his mission, connecting others with the love of Jesus. We have a big mission in this church. We have our op shop. We have our mums and bubs, which is starting tomorrow. And we need people like you, part of our church, to be part of those things. We need to show the love of Jesus in the things that we do, because that's our mission. That's our vision. So if you've got time to spend a day in the op shop, if you've got time to spend on a Monday morning to come and help out with mums and bubs, then please let me know. There are other things that you can do too in the church. So many other things. People who do some cleaning for us. There's people who do morning tea. There's so many different things. It's all part of our vision and mission of working together. And as we talked about before, and as you saw in the pictures I had earlier, a journey always has challenges. The path isn't always smooth. The way ahead is not always clear. There can be setbacks, disappointments, and at times it's a struggle to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I know all about that. One foot in front of the other. Sometimes it's a struggle. But these are times of learning. I know they have been for me. The struggles have been the times when I've learnt the most and I've really strengthened my trust and faith in God. They're times of learning, of sharpening, if you like, with the pencil, so that we can be stronger, better, more determined in our purpose. Yes, we will make mistakes along the way. But thank God that there is total forgiveness. Mistakes can be completely erased. Don't feel guilty, you don't have to. Mistakes can be completely erased. God can make us clean from the inside out, and his spirit within produces the good stuff, like in the pencil. You know, the stuff, the good stuff. What's the good stuff? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Produced by the Spirit inside of us. And like the pencil, it's important that we make our mark wherever we go, shining the light of God in the dark places, showing the love of Jesus in all that we do. Some questions for us this morning. Are you ready for this journey? Is your heart right? Do you acknowledge your need of God? Have you repented of your sin and turned your face towards God? Are you ready for the challenges this journey will bring? Do you trust your friend, your fellow Christian friend? Do you want to walk hand in hand with them? Do you want to be part of a team? Are you in for the long haul? Are you ready to embrace the mission? And in our society today, especially in Australia, this is not an easy mission. Do people want to hear about God? I think they do, in their own way. But they can be a bit stubborn. She'll be right, mate. Isn't that what Australians say? She'll be right. So are we ready to embrace the mission, even in the smallest ways? Doesn't mean we have to stand on the soapbox on the corner and preach from the Bible. It means we have to be personable, get alongside people in their walk. Those little things that matter. Pray for them. And tell them you're going to pray for them. Ask them if it's okay you can pray for them. Most people say yes. I'd love you to do that. Embracing the mission. Can you welcome the outsiders and really love your enemies? Are you all in? They're the questions that I asked this morning. Right as we start our journey, well, we've already started our journey, but you know what I mean. We're, as an example today, we're talking about beginning our journey with Jesus as we walk towards Easter, as we walk towards the cross. All those questions. And my prayer is that together we can be his church in this place, in all that we do, and that we can fulfill our mission and our vision, which is connecting others with the love of Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you steadfastly turned your face toward Jerusalem, even though you knew what it was going to involve, because, Lord, you love us and you wanted to welcome us into your kingdom. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And, Lord, I pray that for this church, for each and every one of us, that we will embrace this mission, we will be all in, that together we would work to connect others, to connect our community with the love of Jesus. So I thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.